Hey, take your Bibles if you would again. Let's go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. Last week we looked at the salvation of God as being good stuff. That even the angels long to look into. Believers have been rescued from the control of darkness. Believers have been brought back into a right relationship with God. Believers have been indwelt by the presence of the Spirit of God. Believers have an inheritance waiting for them. And believers are shielded by God's power. So the $100 question is, are you a believer? You say, well, I'm here this morning. Well, guess what? You could be a seeker. You could be, hey, I'm not sure where, I'm interested in these things, you know. Well, this morning we want to once again just remind ourselves of the good things that we have as believers. I like that passage. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that's ready to be revealed in the last time. In these things you greatly rejoice. So now for a little while, you may have to suffer grief through all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, which is of greater worth than gold, that perishes even though it's refined by fire, that your faith may be proved genuine and result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. And here's our challenge again. Though you've not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him. And you're filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy for you receiving the goal of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you, they searched intently with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when it predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. It was revealed unto them that they were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of the things that have been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by His Holy Spirit sent from heaven, even angels long to look into these things. In our verses this morning. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. God has brought this salvation to us. But He doesn't expect us to sit in our pajamas on the couch until He comes. He says, hey, this world that you live in is not going to be that easy. He told His disciples just before He went to heaven. He prays this to the Father. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. My prayer, Father, is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. You and I are in a battle. We may not realize it as much as we should, but we're in a battle. Ephesians chapter 6 pretty well reminds us of that. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, not your pajamas. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against rulers and authorities, against the powers of the world, but it's against rulers, authorities, against the powers of this dark world. Just sort of think about that. the powers of this dark world. Satan still has his way in this world yet. Okay? Against the powers of this dark world, against the heavenly forces against evil forces in the heavenly realm. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so when the day of evil comes, you'll be able to stand your ground. Which means what? Your day might come this week. My day might come next month. When the day of evil comes, you'll be able to stand your ground. And having done everything to stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the preparation that comes from the gospel of peace. Above everything else, take up the shield of faith, which you'll be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Where's he trying to shoot? He's probably trying to hit right there if he can. This mind of ours is prime territory. Okay? Take up the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation. Okay? Take up the what? The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And many times we forget the last phrase. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert. And keep on praying for all the saints. We need each other to pray for us. We do. So this morning, as we look at our passage, we start with this. Therefore, prepare your mind for action. And once again, this thing up here between my two ears, this brain of mine, this is where the battlefield is for me, at least. This is where I have the tug of war that goes on. And I'd like to challenge us at times. We need to realize that we as Christians, once again, our Lord prayed that. Lord, I've given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. We often don't realize it. We're a different group of people than the world. If you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you're heading in a different direction. Okay? You have a different destiny. You're looking for heaven. You have a different dynamic in your life. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. And then there's supposed to be in our life different desires. We're supposed to set our minds on things above instead of on the things of this world. Now, if you're like most believers, there's still the tug of war. There's still the tug of war that goes on. And we still have feet of clay in the sense that we still do things. We get off the path at times. Okay? And it bothers me, once again, it bothers me, and I don't know if any Catholic people are here this morning, but at first, when we heard hear about all the priests that are involved in sexual abuse, sometimes we're ready to take the throne and throw it at the Catholic Church. Guess what came out this week, folks? The Southern Baptist Church Convention has their own group of pastors that have been guilty of abusing children over the years. We've got a problem in this world of ours. And so, isn't it interesting that Jesus said about that woman, If anybody here is without sin, let him throw the first stone. Okay? We all have things still. We're still on this side of heaven. But once again, we got a great salvation. We've been rescued from the darkness. We're headed for heaven. And so now we are supposed to be having victory over the things that so easily beset us. And once I say that, you probably know what besets you. Okay? And there's different things. There's different things. I've shared with people before. Alcohol has never been a vice of Brian Teddy. Never been. But you know what? Some people, that's their vice. They just can't, they can't seem to get away from that. And once again, I loved it one time. The Baptist Church, you know the Baptist Church, our covenant says what? We try to abstain from alcohol. Okay? In one of our membership meetings one night, one of the guys says, "Hey, I'm just going to be honest with you. Sometimes when I mow the lawn, I have a beer." And it was sort of nice that the deacons didn't shoot him right then and there. And I think at times we need to realize, once again, the sin in the Bible is drunkenness. And why did the Baptists say you shouldn't drink? Because if you don't drink, you don't have to worry about getting drunk. But I'm not gonna. I don't make it that big an issue. I really don't. But that's a vice for some people. Pornography. Touch of a computer key nowadays can throw you into the yuck of this world. And to have victory over that is something I believe believers should have. I would say that sort of falls in the old avoid sexual immorality, you know, all that. So those are things that we should be having victory over in our life. Prepare your minds for action. Take your Bibles over to Romans chapter 8. Great passage of scripture. But we see there the two sides of this thing. Okay? Romans chapter 8. Let's start with the first verse, though. This is the good news. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, you start thinking that way, pretty soon you start living that way. Okay? Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death, for what the law was powerless to do, in that was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin and sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Now, number one, I like to look at that verse, at that last part of that verse, as positional instead of just practical. I'm positioned now because of what Jesus Christ has done for me. I'm positioned in a new relationship with God. But because of my new position, I'm supposed to also have practice in my life. And the practice in my life is I'm no longer going to live according to the sinful nature. And the next verse goes on to say, those who live according to the sinful nature have their mindset on what that nature desires. But those who live according to the Spirit have their mindset on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God, nor can it do those. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. Okay? So once again, this mind. Now, how do I start having some victory in this mind of mine? I really believe, once again, as we start to understand what that cross did for you, and you start to realize the benefits that have come your way because you are now a believer, in that, all of a sudden you have some great benefits. I always say, once again, it's the old illustration of the box at the auction, okay? On the jewelry wagon. My dad, hey, buy that box for me, Dad, because I see something on the top of it I like. And once again, the good thing about that, usually you get about $2, you know? And so you bring that box home and you get to have the item you looked at, but all of a sudden you dig into that box and there's all kinds of other good things. That's what I believe about salvation. When I accepted Jesus Christ, he basically says, Brian Cuddy, here's your box. And we like some of the things right on the top. We look at the top. You're going to heaven instead of hell. That's not bad to have in the box. Your sins have been forgiven. But so sometimes we fail to keep on digging in the box. And sometimes there's some real riches down there. You have been given power over sin. You are a child of God, shielded by faith. And sometimes we fail to take hold of the things that are ours. I say it this way. If the truths of the cross could sink down through this pea-sized brain of mine and start to saturate my soul, Brian Cuddy would be a different person who is often no longer drawn to the things of this world. Now, I'm not going to get so cocky to say, well, I've got her made, Lord, and I'll never sin again. My wife knows different than that. No? But prepare your minds for action. Be, the next, King James says, sober. NIV says, be self-controlled. Be careful about going to the excesses, basically, the lectionary was saying there. Be careful about going to the excesses with your thinking. Then it says, set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. This is good stuff, and one of the best stuff about it is that Jesus says, I'm coming back someday. And once again, this is something that you and I as believers, we're saying, hey, I believe he's coming back. Okay? And so it's supposed to affect how you live your life. Okay? Once again, we lived on the farm. My dad worked at a factory in the evenings. He worked in Standish at Magline. And our job at night was to take care of the chores. And about this time of year, we always tried to breed the sheep flock so they would have their lambs in May. But sometimes the sheep didn't read the calendar real well, okay? And sometimes my dad would be out there in the morning when he was doing chores. He would see a ewe that was getting bigger, 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 getting ready to have a lamb. And here it is, February. And so he would, leave a note with mom. Hey, have the boys get this sheep into the barn. Well, once again, sometimes there were pressing things going on. Hogan's Heroes was coming on pretty soon. Or let Jerry and Daryl do it. It was not a good Saturday morning, though, if my dad would come out there and all of a sudden there'd be a lamb frozen on the barn hill because we didn't get the sheep in. And our Savior is a loving Savior. He is. But I wonder sometime what it's going to be like to stand before a holy God someday when He's told us certain things that we should do about our lives. And we haven't done anything. And so I pray it once again. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, don't conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. Now, once again, we could run to the extremes of that thing. And we could be over here and say, oh, look at me, I'm holy. I never sin. And once again, there's churches that will say this. I have been perfected, or I'm holy now. I don't believe the Bible teaches that myself. I believe the Bible teaches that we're supposed to be having victory over the sins that so be easily beset us. We're supposed to be growing in this grace and knowledge of Christ. We're supposed to be growing in our appreciation of this salvation because it's good stuff. And we should be drawing closer and closer to our Lord and desiring to follow Him more and more with our lives. But I believe once again, the three stages. When I asked Jesus to be my Savior, I was saved from the penalty of sin. Right now, I'm in the process of sanctification. I'm being saved from the power of sin. It's supposed to have less and less grip upon my life. Eventually, I'm going to be saved from the presence of sin. I won't have to worry about it anymore. Okay. So I'm not saying, but the challenge, are you growing? I don't listen to Joyce Meyer very much, but I always like this phrase about her. I'm not where I should be, but I'm not where I once was. Is that true in your life? I hope so. That you're growing, okay? And becoming more and more like Him. We have different verses that talk about do not conform. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Let's look at it. Some of these verses will help you when you're reading through it yourself. Romans chapter 12 is an excellent chapter to read if you want to live a godly life, okay? We read a little bit. Might as well do verses 1 and 2. Those were the ones you memorized in Bible school. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And then verse 2, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Now, what is the pattern of this world? I really believe if I had to draw it, I'd probably say that the pattern of this world is a big circle and me sitting right in the middle of it. Yeah. Once again, my wife will often say, it's all about Brian. That's true. That's not really true, dear. I love you too. But that's sort of the pattern of this world. It's all about me. It's all about self. When the picture for the believer is what? We're supposed to be a Christ-centered person. And everything in my life, what I do for fun, my family life, my work life, whatever goes on, it's all supposed to be done for the glory of Jesus Christ. And I pray that we might see that and start to say, hey, what can I do? One of the professors in school used to use this phrase all the time because we always want to try to say, okay, I'll never, you've had to do this. I'll never do that again. Okay. I'll never do that again. Okay. I'm done with that, Lord. No more. No more pornography. No more drunkenness. No more lust. You know, all those things. And pretty well we know what happens at that time. Okay. There's always the tug of war to come back. His statement was this. The prohibitor needs to be the provider. You got to put something in place. Okay? If you're saying no more, there's got to come something to fill that void in your life. And for me, once again, we need to challenge ourselves. What are we doing? This is good stuff. Are we feasting on the riches of God's truths? Are we trying to grow in our understanding and our and reading of this book? Once again, I like memorizing. You know that. But for me, that helps me try to walk closer to my Lord. And I pray that others might do it as well, to hide God's word in your heart. So the challenge once again, be holy for I am holy, says the Lord. And so the challenge today, first of all, that you know him. That's the Apostle Paul's desire. I want to know Christ, okay? And the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, so somehow to attain to the resurrection of the dead. I want to be with him someday. Then he's honest enough. Not as though I have attained all this or already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of the goal for which God called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Okay? Brothers, I do not consider myself to yet taken hold of this or already been made perfect, but I press on. So I want us to press on. I want us to press on to keep toward him. So once again, prepare your minds for action. You're going to be in a battle. There's going to be assaults on the mind. But Christ just says, hey, I've shielded you with God's power. I've given you my spirit. Live by the spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. So I pray as you start your mornings, Lord, may this day be for you. Help my heart and my mind be directed with the things above. And when you fall down, get back up. Get back up. There's no use to keep on wallowing in the mud. Get back up. Lord, that's not the way a believer is supposed to live. Forgive me and move on toward you.